And now, from our Mile High Denver, Colorado studios, we bring you Connie Shaw with Awakening, Talks with Compelling People.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Connie Shaw, and tonight's guest is Claire Papin, P-A-P-I-N, who is a journalist and visionary. Welcome to the show, Claire.
Connie, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
You're entirely welcome. Claire lives in Loveland, Colorado, and is going to be telling us, among other things, the story of how she received Mary's lullaby. Claire, I'd like to have you tell our listening audience about the nature of the changes in the current times, which is a backdrop to Mary's messages to you and the various other aspects of her work with you in nearly 2 decades. So how would you characterize these times?
Well, first off, I would start by saying that a lot of what is going on during these times that we live in now, this has been a buildup that has been going on for quite some time. But it's only been in recent years that we started to see an escalation of great change for humanity and for the Earth. We've been seeing it reflected in the climate, how it's been changing, and more and more unpredictable, larger storms, so forth. Also with the economy, we're seeing that reflected there as well. Old structures breaking down so that new structures can step forth and build. We get to see what we don't want anymore and begin to build upon what is really true and ethical and moral and what feels right and fair in humanity. And so we're on the brink of building that now. So we have a lot of changes going on for humanity and for the Earth at the same time, and in many different sectors of life, all the way to the family, learning more about community, to the very nature of our own religious institutions. We're seeing it in the way that our medical community is embracing health now. Old ways are outdated and outmoded, moving aside for more holistic practices. So these are some of the things that are going on during these times of great change for us.
Thank you for filling us in on that, Claire. I'd like to ask you what year it was that you first became aware of Mary by seeing or hearing her, and if you'd please be willing to share with us the story of Mary's lullaby.
Yes. It was actually around the year 1989, and during that time, I was experiencing a great awakening. Many of the dreams that I was having engaged prophecies of things that were about to happen anywhere to the near future, to the far off times, and I would sometimes wake up in the middle of the night and be accompanied by this amazing, beautiful light in the room, a very strong divine and feminine presence. Did not know that it was Mother Mary at the time, but it was certainly the beginning of my awareness of the work that we would begin doing together. And certainly by the time Mary's lullaby came, if I were to just simply start with how things happened that evening, I would say that I was reading a book. It was late at night. I was starting to get tired, ready to retire to bed. And so I got up to close the blinds and turn the lights off. And as I turned around, all of a sudden I was embraced in this amazing, peaceful, loving light. And it was swirling around me. And then the next thing I knew, there was this beautiful song that started flowing through me as if it were a song I already knew but had never heard before in actuality. While I was singing this song, I saw a vision lay before me. And I could see all these people in their homes all at once, as if it were through the eyes of God, and they were singing this song as well. And they were surrounded in the same light that I was experiencing in that moment, and they seemed to be filled with joy and peace and I could see past them through their windows these huge storms raging outside, but they were so peaceful and joyful inside that it was as if they didn't even know those storms were happening.
Do you think that the lullaby signified a protection for them, or that it signified staying connected to the source and thereby the intensification of their own faith was acting as a protector?
That is the very thing that you said. It comes from within. It's not something that's outside of us or brought to us. Mary's lullaby is a reminder of what we already have within us. If anything, it triggers or reminds us of the peace that we already have within. And the expression of that faith that I saw in these people while they were singing the song was an expression that came from inside of them, from something that was already there. And so it's just simply a reminder of that. Mm-hmm.
Message continued, though, didn't it? Didn't you hear
a message
from Mary?
Yes. During this time, she said, "This song is a gift, a blessing, and a prayer. It will be sung in many homes." And I thought to myself, you know, how will this be? How would this happen? And somehow I just knew that there may be an occasion that it could be recorded and reach people that way.
It's now a CD, right?
Yes, it is, yes. And there were a number of synchronistic events that brought it to that place where it finally came out on CD. Right after this song came, I was still in a very blissful sort of state, and I realized that this heralded something that was going to be a responsibility of something I needed to take care of. And so I hummed the tune into a tape recorder and the words so that I could remember it. And then several days later, a friend of mine who's a songwriter was in town visiting. This was when I was still living in Houston. And I told him, I said, you know, I've got this really beautiful song I'd like to sing for you. And I did not tell him where it came from, but I just wanted to sing it for him. And when I was done, he said, "Well, Claire, that's very beautiful. You know, that's a lullaby." Now, I didn't even realize why I needed to know that, why I needed to know it was a lullaby, but
it was important
it was
for the future, right?
It was. It certainly was, because another week later, I returned to a meditation group, a prayer meditation group that I had only just begun a month before. Mm-hmm. And during that time, during the meditation, one of the ladies spoke up and said, "Mother Mary is here. And she has a message. There is a song, and it's a lullaby. Would you please sing it?"
Oh,
now, what's interesting about this is I had not told them about the song yet. I got there a little late, and I didn't have time to chat with anybody before the meeting or anything. And so I realized, oh, my gosh, I'm supposed to share this with the group. So, okay, so I sang the song. And the same experience happened when I first sang the song for in my living room that night when Mary came. And this light began to swirl around me, and it centered into my heart, and then as if it shot out and filled the room. And when I was done singing, my friends there in the meditation meeting said, "That's very beautiful. You need to record it. It's very peaceful and calming." And I said, "Well, you know, let's see what happens." I was told that this would be in a place where it could reach a lot of people, where it would be recorded. So let's just see what happens. So I think it was just a few days later, a friend of mine calls me out of the blue from L.A. I had not spoken with her about any of this yet. I was very hesitant about speaking about any of the experiences that I was having with Mother Mary in the very beginning. I was still integrating the whole experience. But when my friend called me, she said, "Claire, I just wanted to share something with you. I know that you go to Dallas all the time for meetings, and I thought maybe there's this lady that I know that lives there, and I thought maybe you might want to meet her, and I'd like to give you her number. Her name is Annie Kirkwood, and she's got this book called Mary's Message to the World, where she shares messages that she'd received from Mother Mary." And I thought, my gosh, how is this happening? So I said, "You know, I don't recall ever sharing with you about my experiences with Mary yet. What prompted you to do this?" And she said, "I just thought you might want to know in case the next time you go to Dallas, you might want to meet her." So I took the number, and then I called, and there was no answer. So I put the number aside, and I thought, well, you know, I'll just try again another time. Well, a few days went by. The next thing I knew, I have to be in Dallas for a meeting. And I brought the book with me because I was still reading it, Mary's Message to the World. And I showed it to a friend of mine while I was there in Dallas, and he goes, "My goodness, I know that lady. I just interviewed her on my radio talk show. Would you like her number?" And so once again, I thought, oh my gosh, I guess I'm really supposed to reach her. So I called her, and I shared with her that a friend had given me the phone number, the producer of the show she had just been interviewed on, and another friend had actually given me the number too, and I thought that maybe she might know why people keep giving me her phone number. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Well, I think maybe you're supposed to come out next week. We're expecting an apparition of Mary, and we're going to gather at Joe Pool Lake, and you're invited."
And that was in Houston.
Annie at the time was living in Dallas.
I see.
Joe Pool Lake was just right outside of Dallas, Dallas. Mm-hmm. And so I returned the following week, and while I was there, it was just a beautiful experience with the whole presence that was there. When we all looked up into the sky, we saw the sun begin to spin. It turned into two suns. There were these amazing rainbow rays of light that were just beaming out from the sun. It was a blanket of peace that happened during this experience, and I was grateful to be there. And so I thought, well, you know, that was a blessing. And I thanked God all the way home. Thank you so much for this wonderful blessing of being in the presence of all of that. And about a month later, I received a phone call from Byron Kirkwood, Annie's husband. And he said, "Claire, we want to record the messages of the book, Mary's Message to the World, and we want to put it on tape for people. And I wanted to ask you if you would be interested in being the voice of Mary for these messages." And I said, "Well, Byron, I would be honored to do that, but how did you guys know that I do voiceover work?" And he said, "Well, we didn't know that." And when I spoke with Annie on the phone, I asked her about that, and she said, "Well, Claire, Annie asked me to ask you if you would be her voice." And I said, "Well, of course, I would be more than happy to." Now, I still had not shared with Annie about Mary's lullaby yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was about a month later that I returned to Dallas, where they had booked a studio for me to go. And it was about the third day that I was there in the recording studio. These were very, very long days in the recording studio recording the messages because it was the entire book. It was completely unabridged.
A big project.
Yes, very big. And so about the third day that I was there, I began to feel the presence of Mary fill the room. And I was already very tired from hours of reading. I needed to just take a quick break, rest my eyes, drink some water. I was still remaining there in the recording booth. And then I began to feel the presence of Mary showing up. She has a very distinct vibration. She has her own signature to her vibration, and I, at this point, began to learn when her presence was filling a room. And so she asked me to sing. She said, "It's time to sing the song now." And I thought, oh my gosh, this is how it's going to get recorded. Maybe they'll record this when I sing it. So I looked at the producer who was in the engineering booth, and I said, "There's this really beautiful song, and it's from Mother Mary. Would you like to hear it?" And he said, "Yes, but just hold on a moment. Let me put on a DAT tape so we can record it." So I began to sing the song, and as I was singing, the room filled with light. And not only was the presence of Mary there, but other divine presences, Jesus, angelic presences, other divine beings. The light was so bright that the walls disappeared, and this light just went on for eternity. And it was as if their vibration was merging with mine so that it would come out through the sound of the voice as I sang.
Fill this home with love. Fill this home with light and love. Fill this home with love. Fill this home with light and love. Rejoicing all the way we know. Praising all the way we go. Fill this home with love, light and love. Fill my being with peace. Fill my being with peace and joy. Fill my being with peace. Storm seeds shape the flow, the process as we know. Blessed love divine, light and love.
When I was done singing, the producer and the engineer were there, and they were speechless. They didn't see what I saw, but they felt it. And they said, this is amazing. We need to put this song with the book on tape somehow. It's like it's a theme song. And I said, well, you're welcome to use it. And later they got musicians that they used the recording of the voice and got musicians and mixed music in behind it. And they gave me a copy of it, and I shared with friends, and then those friends shared with their friends, and next thing I knew, I was getting phone calls from people saying, "Do you realize what you have here?" And I said, "You know, this is up for your own unique experience whenever you connect with Mary's lullaby." And again, as we've said earlier, it's really just simply a reminder about the peace and the love that's already from within.
Claire, that is an astounding story, and we have about 4 minutes left. I'd like for you to tell us in a few sentences the story about the time you were traveling a few months later in the Texas Hill Country when you stopped into the little town called Marble Falls to talk to some realtors, and what happened there as the storm was coming up.
Well, I'm glad you asked about that, because that's very fitting with the story of Mary's lullaby. The experience was that while I was there, a friend and I were traveling. We stopped in this little shack. It was practically a shack. It was just a little mobile home to visit with some realtors. And while we were there, the receptionist came and said, "I've got to leave. I've got to move my car. I just received this phone call, several, in fact, from people who are saying that there's this huge storm getting ready to roll into town with golf ball-size hail and so forth. and 60-mile-an-hour winds, I've got to go and move my car. And I stopped her for a moment, and I said, wait a minute, I just want to ask you, do you know how to be in the middle of a storm and still be as if you were in the eye of the storm? Because she was getting ready to go out there and possibly be in the middle of it. And she said, no, how? And I said, prayer. And she said, thank you. And she seemed very happy to be reminded about that. So she left, and certainly it did happen. Just a moment later, that storm hit the town, and it hit like a boom. The wind was so strong that bushes and trees were just flattening. The winds began to move the building. It was shaking so hard that the people inside were starting to get scared, and when the lights went out, that's when they began to look for a desk to hide under. Mary came, and she said, Claire, it's time to sing now. And I said, how will I get them to do this when they're so frightened? And how will I get them to even hear or listen? She said, sing the song and sing it now. So I said, you guys, I have this beautiful song I'm going to sing for you. Would you like to hear it? And they said yes. I was very surprised that they said yes, or that they could even hear me. They all got up from under these desks and the places where they felt tucked under, grabbed chairs, and circled around me as I sang. And instantly, a calmness began to fill the room, and they began to go from a shaking state to a calm state, tears rolling down their faces. When I was done singing, one of the ladies said to me, that is so beautiful. Where did that song come from? And I said, well, I guess you could say it came from heaven. Oh. We opened up the door and looked outside. A tornado had hit directly across the street and all the way down through the entire city of Marble Falls as if it were a bomb site. It was deemed a national disaster area that day.
Oh, that's quite a powerful story. You know, Claire, before we finish, I'd like to mention that once around 1992, I was attending a Spiritual Unity of the Tribes gathering where there were about 500 people from around the country, many, many Native people and many non-Natives gathered. And one evening, there was a terrific storm. My husband, Jim, and I had rented an RV, a camper, for the occasion. And the storm was so ferocious that the wind and the hail were blasting this camper. It was rocking back and forth, and I was quite concerned that it might just be turned over or carried away in the midst of the ferocious wind. And suddenly Mary appeared to me and said, beloved heart, know that just as you are now in the midst of a storm, you are safe. You will be safe in the future, though there will be tornadoes raging, there will be volcanic eruptions, there will be earthquakes, there will be weather anomalies. But all those who believe in God and all those who pray to me and to Jesus and to God will be safe during the coming times. Know this. So just as you have been so generous in sharing with us tonight, Claire, about Mary's lullaby and about the storm and how prayer is a refuge in a storm and that we can pray at any time and receive Mary's and Jesus' blessings, we must cling to our faith and to know that we always are, we have whatever we need within us to meet any particular challenge at any time. And now, since we're out of time, I'd just like to ask you, Claire, if there are any quotations of Mother Mary that you would like to leave with our listeners, or if there's anything else regarding hope that you would like to mention as we conclude our show with Claire Pepin.
Yes, there was a very, very important message that is a theme that Mary has shared through all these years. She reminds us that where there is hope, there is action. And as that action stems from that hope, it will take us where we need to be. It will hold us in the space that we need to be in. And I think that each one of us, when we think in terms of hope, remember how that hope also stems from the faith that you were talking about earlier.
Thank you so much, Claire. I'd also like to conclude with another thought that Mary has left you. Mary said, quote, "Peace will stand. It will carry forth in humanity's efforts to aid the planet and help humanity. We must all remember that we are all one family under God who can choose to participate in the betterment of mankind and the quality of life." End quote. Mother Mary to Claire Pepin of Loveland, Colorado. Claire, it's been delightful having you with us on our show tonight, and I would like to invite you to come back again to do a show on preparedness for these times of crisis. Would you be willing to do that?
I'd be more than happy to.
Well, thank you. We'll look forward to that. I'll contact you soon. And I'd just like to thank you again for sharing so intimately with our listeners. This concludes our show, Awakening, Talks with Compelling People. You've been listening to our guest, Claire Pepin of Loveland, Colorado, who is a journalist and a visionary. I'm your host, Connie Shaw. Thanks for spending time with us this evening, and be sure to schedule time to be with us next time. Remember, you have a unique set of skills, talents, and experience which other people need. Fulfill your life purpose by doing selfless service in your community today. Your love can help soften suffering in someone's life. You are love itself. Share it and watch it multiply in your own life.